So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the only figure of eight podcast.
We go up and under and over ourselves and round in circles.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, winners of the Build-A-Bear Championship.
I don't understand this. What's this? What's a Build-A-Bear Championship?
Well, I was trying to think of the nearest thing that we could get our hands on that would be like a Constructors' Championship. So I figured if you go to a shopping centre and you build a bear, you're the Build-A-Bear Workshop.
Okay,
you
know? I would have just gone Lego, but yeah, that works.
I hate Lego.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that is just waiting for Williams to get rid of the golf livery so we can use it on our clothes.
I would rock that. I would dress entirely in golf colours. Sometimes I have.
I dress in golf colours. That's the colour of black oil and the red blood of all the people who've been killed trying to extract oil from the ground.
Yeah, that's what I meant too. That's Williams' next livery for Qatar.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast you'll get up early for.
To leave.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake. Can we stop watching yet?
I think so. I mean, everything that's going to be sorted has been sorted now, hasn't it? 6 races to go. Do we need to watch them?
Well, now we know that the Red Bull aren't dirty cheats, then what's the point?
It's the only thing we were holding out for.
The only thing we're holding out for now is to see how low Perez could go.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake. We will retire from the podcast and then pop up half an hour later.
Speak of the devil.
Is that a poke at Ollie? It's pretty harsh.
No, it's Perez.
Oh,
retire
yeah.
Retire from the race.
The other number two.
And then come out half hour later to do a 5 second penalty or whatever the fuck that was. That.
2 shows a day, Sergio Perez.
Well, maybe Sergio Perez has done the first 5 laps of the next race. Have you thought of that? Genius.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the podcast F1 deserves. I'm Ollie Peart, and tonight we're going to commit atrocities against the Japanese language like Sergio Perez commits atrocities against the art of being a good teammate. So, konnichiwa, konbanwa, and moshi moshi, o genki desu ka, komentase. With all that out of the way, let's talk about the Japanese Grand Prix, where it appeared that rumours of Red Bull's demise might have been premature, what with Max Verstappen completely dominating the entire weekend and Red Bull winning the Constructors' title. Still, 6 more races to go, eh? Mustn't grumble. We'll chat about what the point of the other races is, and then there'll be some other shit that we'll somehow manifest during the recording. What will it be? Nobody knows. That's all to come. Joining me is a man who doesn't mind the early mornings. It's Phil Tromance.
Hello, I wrote that about several hours ago and I now can't remember what it means. So,
well, I presume you woke up in the morning to watch the Grand Prix.
I did. I mean, it might be, I'm going to guess what I was thinking a few hours ago.
It might be that I'm getting up quite early pretty much every day at the moment because, for one, my daughter's decided that she wants to wake up at 5:30 and play Octonauts now every day, so that's something. And also...
Don't know what that is.
It's a kids' TV show. It's quite good. And also because it's about the only time I can ever do any exercise, so I try and do that. So actually, I found that getting up at 5:45 to watch the Grand Prix and it being done by 8 was actually pretty good. Like, I'm actually all right with that because then I have the whole day free. So, yeah, it was good.
Is that it?
Well, I was going to go into more detail, gonna... and then I realised it's actually a talking point later in the script, and I'd forgotten about it.
So. Okay. Fine.
I have nothing to talk about. That's the trouble. I have such a fucking boring life. This is the section I find the hardest in the whole recording, because it's just like, I've done nothing again.
No, you don't. You just said that you work out in the morning. Tell us about your workout regime. I want to know what exercise you do.
I've just started going to the gym again. So how do you? Are you still on your expensive bike?
Yeah, I'm still on the expensive bike. I'm trying to mix it up a little bit with what I found is that just doing bike stuff means that my cardio is all right and my legs are quite strong, but I have absolutely no upper body strength whatsoever. So I've tried to mix it up a little bit. So I'm doing like an upper body workout on a Tuesday, a lower body workout on a Wednesday, cardio on a Monday, full body on a, I don't know, Friday, something. It's going all right. I ache all over. It's great.
Do you remember when I got dumped in the Canary Islands?
Oh, who could forget?
So the woman that I went to visit at the Canary Islands, who then dumped me whilst we were on holiday, we were going to do some water sports.
Oh, wow, okay. Sure.
As in kite surfing and piss play. And one of the worst moments of my adult life was when I didn't have the upper body strength to get back into the boat.
Oh, no.
I had to be helped back into the boat by a burly man whilst this woman who was about to dump me probably made up her mind.
Yeah, that would have tipped her over the edge, I would have thought.
Yeah. Water sports and upper body strength, you need a surprising amount. I did... wakeboarding a few years ago, and I got in the water and the speedboat started up, and all it did was just yank the thing right out of my hands and I fell over into the water.
Is wakeboarding the one where there's lots of different boards at different levels?
No, it's just...
Oh no, that's Rick Wakeman board.
I do like what you've done there, but no, that's not right.
Oh god.
It's the kind of water sports you do after a funeral.
With the open casket as the board.
That's right. And Rick Wakeman.
May he rest in peace.
And beside him is a man who also got up early. It's Terry Saunders.
Let me tell you how Sunday went. My alarm went off at 6:45. I woke up. I watched the 5-minute preamble. I watched the first lap of the race. Then it was midday and I had no idea what happened. Missed the entire race, but had it playing on the laptop next to my head. And then later on in the day, when I watched the race, I could remember all of it like it was in a dream.
Wow. Maybe that's quite a cool way to watch a race, I think, where you're sort of like, this is weird deja vu. It's like The Matrix.
I'm going to take in all culture this way. I'm going to go to the theatre and just like take a couple of sleeping tablets.
That's
but it
a
does
great
mean
idea.
Have to watch everything twice, so it'll be twice as expensive.
Did I ever tell you about my great idea? Right, okay, here's an idea. Right, cost of living crisis, right? Mm-hmm. Here's how to save some money but still get some culture. You know how if you go to see like a West End play, you go out for the break, and then when you go back in after the interval, they never check your tickets again.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think you could go and see the second half of every play in London. Just sneak in.
You could see the worst half of Hamilton.
Yeah, but I haven't. I mean, is that the one where he loses the 2021 Abu Dhabi
Championship? Yeah. First half's a lot better.
I am on fire today. Call me Robert... Cubits, no, was it
Jos Verstappen?
No, he wasn't on fire. No, who's the one? I've forgotten his name. The French one. Romain Grosjean.
Romain Grosjean. How quickly we forget.
Oh, he went up like a Grosjean. Did we say that at the time? We should have.
It's not too late for a t-shirt. Ollie,
you were probably saying that whilst he was in a whole barrage of flames.
Sure. Welcome back.
Yes.
It's nice to have you back. How are you?
Yes. I'm very well. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah. I'm shattered, but no one wants to know that. I'm good.
No,
I'm
we
delighted
do.
To be
Tell
back.
Us more about your chat.
Where have you been today, Ollie? What have you done?
I've been working. I've been in London, and I've been on the train for 6 hours in total,
Ooh.
Which is
unreasonable. So you must live in like You must live in Glasgow then, because that's 6 hours from...
No. 3 hours each way.
That is a commute.
Yes, it is a commute. It's not a daily commute. But yeah,
I was going to say, it'd be a hard taskmaster that makes you do that.
But something brilliant did happen, and sort of, I guess it was maybe three quarters of the way through the journey, the whole carriage that I was in was completely empty. There was no one in it. Not a single person. So... I just started farting, and it was brilliant.
I
loved it.
We've all been there.
Yeah, it was.
But what
so
happens
good.
Then when, like, a stag party walks in or something?
Well, fine. That's fine. You blame the stag party.
It's the stag party. Yeah, they'll just blame another stag. I mean, and the train ticket guy, he did walk through once or twice, didn't bat an eyelid, probably trying to get through there as quickly as possible. Yeah. It was great.
He didn't breathe. It was really weird.
I was travelling in luxury tonight for the last.
Yeah, I'm in a nostalgic mood. So here's a story from years ago about farting.
Here we go, Grandad.
Here we go. During the war...
Back then, we didn't call it farting.
We had to fart through powdered eggs.
It's in the war.
No, okay, I'm going to tell this story, right? So I was really hungover, and I had some vile farts. You know those hungover farts where you don't want to show your friends? So we're in... During Highbury Islington, it's not there anymore, but there was a little gig venue, a little music venue. It's like a basement thing. I forget the name. And I was down there in a basement waiting for a band to go on. And my farts were so bad that I had to kind of walk away from all my friends at regular intervals to go and fart in the corner because I didn't want anyone to be upset. And then one of the last times I did it, this voice just shot out from the corner saying, "Whoever that is, can you stop farting?"
That's amazing.
Wow. And that voice...
Those are the days.
That voice was Rio Haryanto.
I don't know who that is.
He's a Formula One driver, Terry. He's been a Formula One driver since we started doing this podcast.
I think... Are you okay? Because I think what you just said was the capital of Brazil.
That's right.
Ah, the famous Formula One driver,
it's one of
Barcelona.
He's the Indonesian F1 driver who had KFC on his helmet, so to speak.
Oh,
back to Roman Grosjean, Chicken Grosjean, KFC.
Let's get on with the podcast.
Here comes Listener's Corner, which may or may not have Logan Sargeant embedded in it. Much of the discussion in the build-up to the race in Suzuka was about whether Red Bull would be any good, having been way off the pace in Singapore. Coincidentally, just as new technical directives dropped from the FIA, would they still be slow in Japan? No. No, they were faster than ever and won the title. Although, obviously, Sergio Perez was still rubbish. Jack Gillies says, "Of course Max won. He's much faster without all those stewards in his pockets."
Hey, that's a good one.
Keith Russell says, "Checo went into stag do karting mode." And Tristan Clayton says, "Sergio Perez really doubled his efforts this week. Vroom, vroom, crash, crash, box, nose, penalty, penalty. Wow, wow, retire, retire."
Even by the standards of Sergio Perez, this was piss poor. To do it on a week where everyone was like, "Oh, are Red Bull going to be any good?" And then Max Verstappen comes in and he's like, "Are we going to be any good? I'm going to absolutely crush every single session by a country mile. I'm going to qualify in pole. I'm going to win the race by miles. And I'm going to win the championship for Red Bull while we're doing it." So he's doing that. So he's done his part. And then Sergio Perez comes in and qualifies fifth. And then crashes repeatedly, and then retires repeatedly, gets multiple penalties. What is he doing? What is he doing? Is he trying to do himself out of a drive? Because that's how you do yourself out of a drive.
Old man Terry story. So his attitude this weekend reminded me of when I used to do stand-up comedy back in the day. And you turn up at a gig and there'd be no audience. And I just have this feeling of going... Oh, great. I don't have to do the gig because I fucking hate doing gigs. And then suddenly some audience would turn up and you'd be like, "Oh, fuck." And I think that's what happened. I think he thought, like the rest of us, that Red Bull had been cheating. So he was like, "Oh, God, I don't have to pretend to be good next week. I can just phone it in and I'll be like 10th. It'll be great." And then Red Bull turned up with a great car and he's like, "Oh, fuck."
He still couldn't be arsed.
Fuck.
They haven't confirmed. Have they confirmed his drive for next year? I think actually they may have done. But
I think they have.
I wonder if they're frantically going through the fine details, going, "Is there any way we can get out of this and get somebody else in?"
Well, obviously, Red Bull's contractor has is as valid as a chocolate Armada.
Nice.
I was going to say a chocolate teapot, but that's pretty well done. But if you imagine the Armada...
Do you mean the Spanish Armada, or do you mean like the Nissan Armada, which is a large SUV?
I mean, to be honest, either really, wouldn't it? An SUV made of chocolate or a medieval Spanish sailing fleet.
Both better than Sergio
was
Perez.
Was it medieval? Was the Armada medieval?
No, a bit later, I think. 1588, I think, the Spanish later, Armada.
It's very specific. Yeah,
that's because when it was.
But I feel like this needs, checking. If you're right, that's just ridiculous.
I'd say Elizabethan. That's Elizabeth I, wasn't it?
So,
I don't know.
The joke I said, when I said medieval, I meant to say Elizabethan.
Okay.
Late May 1588.
Well, there
what
you go.
Is wrong with you?
I'm sorry I wasn't specific to the month. yeah, I mean, he's done, isn't he? Perez? How can he... It's not even nailed on that he's going to win the... It's not even nailed on to get second in the title at this point. When he's, yeah. You know... Verstappen, brilliant though he's been, don't get me wrong, he's driven superbly this year. When you take hyperbole out of the situation, you cannot drive the car faster than the car can go. So Verstappen is showing how fast that car can go. And Perez is so far off it that he's so far behind. He's got... only slightly more than half the points of Verstappen, who's basically won the team's title. So imagine when, if Perez had been driving well, like even not as good as Verstappen, but somewhere near him, imagine when Red Bull wouldn't have won the title by. The fact that it's been just Verstappen and they still won it with six races to go.
Is it that hard to find a good number two driver?
Red Bull, it seems to be.
Because like Bottas was a bit up and down. Red Bull was a bit up and down.
Well, there's a
for the Red Bull drivers.
There's a fine line because you've got to be good enough to bring home the points, but not good enough to sow discord in the team. If you're Rosberg good, it gets a bit because he wasn't as good as Hamilton, but he wasn't far away.
I suppose Bottas was a good number two.
Because generally speaking, you could count on Bottas to get second. I would say
he'd be on the podium.
So I'd say yes, he was a good number two. Yeah.
I wonder what he's doing now.
I mean, yeah, well, he was only a good number two. Like, now he's sort of theoretically the number one in a terrible team. He's not got it at all. He's too busy wearing mullets and riding bikes.
Did you watch any of the qualifying, by the way?
Yes.
I'm contractually obliged to say yes.
Because that was the moment where... Because, I don't know, there's just something I just don't like about Max Verstappen. But anyway, I watched
weird.
His lap, his you know, pole winning lap, it was just, I was watching it and I genuinely was in awe. Like, I just thought that was amazing. It was so
he's a very good driver. Like, he's a very good driver.
I know, but that was the point where I kind of felt like I had to accept the fact that he was a brilliant driver and it wasn't just the car. Like, he was
we've all been there.
Some people are very good at driving racing cars, and Max Verstappen is one of those people. I don't like the guy.
Just hurt a little bit.
Fucking drive.
Some people are very bad at admitting that a driver is very good.
Yeah.
And I am one of those people.
Yeah. Welcome to FF1S. but I don't know. I mean, Perez has been in F1 for how long now? At least a decade. And he's always been
too long.
He's always been fine. He's good on his tyres, blah, blah, blah. And he's a decent journeyman, but he really is imploding completely. And it seems to be like a Red Bull curse. It's like the curse of Ferrari, but with all their drivers. But at Red Bull, it's only for the second driver.
I think there should be a cull.
I mean, I don't think we should
kill
him.
You know when... No, I think literally kill off the bad drivers. Just kill off the mediocre drivers.
Bolt to the head.
Bolt to the head.
Like a horse, like a Nissan racing bolt. Horse that's lame. You know, when it breaks its leg over a jump, you just kind of...
So that you're saying at the end of Q1, at the bottom five drivers, instead of going to Parc Fermé, they should just sort of bring the screens out and a bloke in a long coat with a shotgun walks just slowly towards them.
I mean, you say that, but I bet you the Haas drivers would try a little bit fucking harder then, wouldn't they?
Bit sensitive doing that in Japan, though, isn't it? A bit track record for that kind of thing. Should we...
Hang on a minute. Are you talking horse racing or war atrocities?
Just need to know where you're pitching this before we respond.
Yeah. No. You don't need to respond. It's all right. Okay. I feel like we're just in dangerous territory. Should I just move on?
Oh, I think we wrapped it up nicely with the war atrocity. Next.
I think we probably did.
Oh!
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Some of you may have noticed that the Japanese Grand Prix wasn't at the usual time on a Sunday afternoon. After some research, this seems to be because Japan is in a different time zone, and that's why people in the civilized world had to wake up mega early to watch it. Jeff Brown says, I don't know how many times I heard Brits complain about the time, while I had that weird feeling that I could do something after the race other than go to bed. Dougie Harper says, didn't get up for the race as it was pretty obvious how it would go. As ever, the only interest would be behind the leader. I'm no Nostradamus, but I was right. Waited until it was on Channel 4 and fast-forwarded the shit out of it until something interesting happened. So all in all, it was about a 20-minute view. How different would F1 be for us if the races were actually on at a different time of day?
I would be up for it, as I alluded to earlier on. Because the trouble with F1 when it's slap bang in the middle of the afternoon is that you have to basically plan your whole day around it, or you just watch it later, especially if you have any and kind of life.
There's nothing worse than on a really sunny day having to shut the curtains so you can watch the telly, watch the millionaires go around the fucking track.
To see who's mega car is the fastest.
Why am I not seeing friends and family? Why am I not just going out and enjoying my life? Why am I sitting here just wasting my life? Whereas if it was on in the morning, you could watch it in bed.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a deep
I'm all
state
for more
conspiracy.
It could be. But
it is.
Bernie,
they're working in cahoots with the pharma manufacturers to get you inside with your curtains closed in the middle of summer, so you get a vitamin D deficiency, and then you need to splash out some medication. I've worked.
Oh, you mean pharma as in pharmacy? Right. Sorry.
Yes.
I thought
not
you were talking
farmers.
About farmers. That's why I'm very organised.
Yes.
That one big farmer. Ted.
War. That's racist. I'm all in favour of them either being first thing in the morning or last thing at night. I'm fairly sick of either getting weird looks from my family because I'm saying, oh, I have to watch the Grand Prix and it's on at 2 o'clock, which means we can't go out and do anything, or missing the race and having to watch it later at some ridiculous time because, you know, I have a family and we have to do stuff. So maybe I just need to move to another part of the world. Where's the best part in the world to watch F1 time-wise?
Japan.
Seems to be.
Japan,
we're on at 6 a.m. there. Oh, no, hang on.
If we were in Japan, that'd be the worst one to watch.
But then they would...
Because it's presumably on at 2 in the afternoon.
Well, no, as in the most of the season. Races. Yeah. You'd go for the bulk of the season being at a different time. Yeah.
I mean, it must work for them because they have a lot of very passionate F1 fans.
I got caught out with the Grand Prix start time this time. So I turned it on and I literally caught the last two laps. And I was like, oh, great. So I know the result and I haven't seen the rest of the race. So I just saw that there were six cars out of the race. Didn't know any of the story behind it. And I was like, oh, excellent. So it kind of took the excitement out.
It was actually only five cars, but Sergio Perez retired twice.
Yes. In other news, who remembers spare cars? In an earlier incarnation of F1, when the cars were cheaper and there weren't any budget caps, most teams would bring literal spare cars with them to each race. So if anything went wrong, for example, an enormous crash, the driver could just hop into a spare car and carry on racing. Well, Williams haven't given up on that idea and built a third car for Logan Sargeant after he smashed his to bits again during qualifying. However, doing so landed them in hot water and Sargeant started the race with a 10-second penalty. What was this all about?
I didn't know that this was a rule, but then Sargeant got hit with an obscure penalty. I was like, ooh, an unusual rule that results in Logan Sargeant being in more trouble. That's interesting. So it seems that there are definitions of what constitutes a car. Because I believe, if I've interpreted this correctly, which is highly unlikely because I have had some drinks, that you can bring like a spare chassis, which is basically like the safety sail that you bolt everything to. You can bring that along in case something happens. And then if you need it, you can start building it up. But the problem that Williams has had was when Sargeant twatted his car in qualifying and they needed to build a new one for Sunday, they decided to use the spare chassis as the original was broken. But it seems as if they built it too much on the first day, to the point where what they'd built at the close of play on Saturday constituted, in the FIA's eyes, a car. But because they hadn't taken everything off the other one, they also had that car. Therefore, they had three cars. And they're not allowed to have three cars. So therefore, penalty.
So this is an interesting legal loophole, otherwise known as the Sugar Babes defense, which is if you change all the members of the Sugar Babes,
yes,
are they still the Sugar
yes,
Babes?
Yes, are they still Triggers Broom?
The answer was, which is obviously the more 80s sitcom.
Surprised you didn't go for it, yeah.
I thought
just
about
love
it.
The Sugar Babes.
I just love the Sugar Babes. But, so did Williams build a new car or did they replace everything in their existing car?
Yeah, it's a really weird one. I didn't even know that this was a thing, but it seems to be. I actually wish I had a bit more time to look into it a bit more closely because it seems like actually maybe it's a little bit complicated. But that seems to be the general gist of it, is they inadvertently created another car before they'd made their other car not a car, I think.
Alchemy!
Yes. Is that Rumpelstiltskin? They were trying to turn Logan Sargent into gold.
But just two sort of half-built cars. Like, I want to know
where
that...
They both tick the definition of still being a car. I think if you take enough bits off a chassis, it's not a car anymore. But if you don't take enough bits off and you've already started putting bits on another one, you have two cars. And you're not allowed to have two cars, or three cars, including Albert.
Sure, the definition should be, if you could get in and drive it, surely. Maybe you could.
Well, you'd think. I don't know. Well, but therefore, if I took all the wheels off my BMW, would it still be a car? I mean, it's barely a car even with wheels on, let's be honest. It's knackered, but...
A car without wheels is a boat. That's where that definition stops.
Good.
And then
okay.
A
thank
car
you,
with
Collins
wings
Gem.
Is a plane.
A fish without... What is it? Something is a bicycle. What was that?
Fish with no eyes is a fish? Is that what you're going for?
No, something about a fish and bicycle. It's like an old Guinness advert or something.
Plane, top, car with stick, wings, boat.
I feel like we've
no
lost
wheels.
The track here. The point is, Logan Sargent's not very good.
Tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake or find us on Facebook where we are For F1's Sake or email us at wrong@ff1s.com where you can also leave us a team review. Just email a voice note to wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we're right, then why not buy us a beer? Just like these people, I shall recite henceforth. They are Neil Fraser, Bernard Fraser, Chris Lee, Jenny and Ralph Brynard, Andrew Cunningham,
Brynard.
Bryce Davies.
Whee.
Yeah.
Whee. I love those people.
Be like them and support our quest to be the only Formula One podcast left after the apocalypse. Head to ff1s.com/pint.
A woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. That was
okay.
Killers in the team. Hear that? Killers in the team. Killers in the team. Hear that? Killers in the team. That's what you're getting.
What?
You like
I don't. What? I don't know. What?
I fucking
just
despair.
Noise. Just noise. What them to a good old tune you could hum? What was that? Was that the Killers?
Love that song. No.
Who is Skrillex. It? What is it? Who? Oh, I do
Rumble.
Actually know one Skrillex song.
Skrillex was just announced he's playing Berghain in November.
Of course he is, yeah.
So.
There you go. See, you know more
about
it.
No, apparently it's his first time.
There you go.
Apparently it's his first time. I thought it was Skrillex, and I thought he was like an online tutorial website.
How to be a better dinosaur.
Just thought I'd bring us all up to date, with
good,
all the
good.
Stuff kids are listening to. So there you go.
Sure.
Hang on, isn't he from like 20 years ago? Hang on, no.
I mean, I've heard of Skrillex.
Yeah, but it's a newish. It's a newish song. It's a newish song.
Okay.
Newish.
Define ish.
Like the last couple of years.
Is this one of those things where we find out it's like 10 years old? You'll be like, oh God, I've been busy.
Oh God, yeah. No, it probably is. I'll check. Red Bull. It was a return to normality. It was a return to normality for Red Bull, with Verstappen completely dominating every session, and aside from a little side-by-side action with Norris in the first corner, sailed away into the distance during the race. He scored his 13th win of the season. Red Bull won their 6th constructors' title, and Sergio Perez was comically poor, even by his standards. While Verstappen was on pole in the same car, Perez qualified 5th, lost places at the start and broke his front wing, passed under the safety car while pitting and got a penalty, crashed into Magnussen and broke another wing, got another penalty, retired, then unretired so he could pit and serve that second penalty, then retired again. How bad was this on the Perez spectrum?
Very bad. But also, it did provoke this whole thing, which is another thing I didn't know about, that you can retire and then unretire so that you can serve your penalty so that you don't get a grid penalty for the next race, which I didn't know was a thing. Did you know this was the thing?
True, but I didn't know that was a thing. But, you know, it's not that different from when in the past, you know, a team has sent a driver back out just to kind of run around the track to do some kind
of testing. That's what they were doing, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine with that.
It does seem a little iffy, say, oh, don't get a penalty. I mean, it would have been much better for Perez to keep up with his brand this year is if, whilst he was driving away his penalty, he crashed into somebody and got another penalty and just had to keep going out.
3 is the magic number. He's still like, he's still there now. The first driver ever to have to stay out on track until the Monday.
He's got to do it in his underpants.
Yeah, I mean, it was comically poor. But there seems to be some debate going on as to whether this is a loophole or a thing that the FIA should close. Whereas I think I'm all right with it. Like, I don't really mind. Like, if you can go back out, I'd say you can go back out. And if in doing that you want to serve your penalty that you have to serve, go and serve it. Fine. What's the problem?
Yeah, but why retire the car in the first place? If you don't need to
Well,
retire,
I presume they retired because... Well, I mean, there might be myriad reasons why you would retire a car. It could be like, well, we've got Sergio Perez in it, so we're not going to get a result, so we might as well save the engine and hopefully not crash any more front wings off. But then, you know, if you're forced to retire because the car physically can't go, then obviously, well, that's just that. You can't go back out again. But if you've retired for strategic purposes, which people are entirely allowed to do, why would you then not go, well, hang on, we've got this time on track. We've paid for our time on track, and I'm going to bloody well use it.
You sound like a dad going,
exactly.
I'm sorry my daughter's had a terrible accident, but we've paid for these canoes. We're going to fucking use them. But wait a minute. I think you've backed into an ideal point there, which is I don't think they should be allowed to retire a car
at all,
tactically or strategically.
Agree.
No,
I agree.
You should only be allowed to retire a car if you physically can't get around. This whole thing of like, the sensors say the engine's going to go in the next lap. Good, fuck it. I want the sensor to go. I want the engine to go. I don't want you to be like, oh, we're going to park it. So if you've retired and then it turns out you could start the fucking car, you should get a penalty for that.
They'll just claim safety issues, won't they? There's no way of policing that. And to be honest, I don't know if actually when Perez retired, his car actually was completely battered and couldn't go, and then they fixed it because it was like 25 laps later. So they had a good amount of time to fix stuff. I'm fine with them doing that. They've paid for the mechanics. They're there
to fix stuff, though.
I think so. I think once you've retired, part of Fermi's knackered, isn't it? You can fix damage.
Yeah, but
he hasn't
retired.
Yeah, you can fix damage on a car.
No, but once he's retired, he can't go back out.
But
so
who's actually, like, is there an official thing when you've retired? Do you have to go to the FIA and say, oh, by the way, if we're retired now? Or do you just park the car in the garage and they just say, well, he's in the garage, so he's retired? I don't know if there's an official thing where
like
you literally change the sign on your door to say retired now.
I'd imagine you've got to fill in a form.
Do you? I don't know.
Well, if you retire from anything, like you retire from your job, you can't you leave. You can't just kind of just hop back and go, yeah, no, actually, and I've decided.
Yeah,
not
but
to
I don't retire,
retire
every day. I don't retire like.
No, I know,
I
but
I know some people clock in and
I'm
clock out of their job.
Posh,
but
you do.
I'm with Terry. I want. I think
you retire
think
for the evening.
Yeah, it's become too like the cars are very very sensitive. They're super sensitive, and that they keep talking about like little things in the telemetry or whatever. And okay, we've got to bring it in or whatever, and you can't drive the car anymore. No, I agree. Just keep it out. Let something happen. I think that's fine.
I'm all right with it. I'm all right with it. If it means they're pooling around being mobile chicanes, fine. It's another variable. I'm all right with it. I have no issue with what happened. I have issues with pretty much everything else Sergio Perez has done this year, but that's fine as far as I'm concerned.
Fine. Then we've all agreed.
No, we haven't. We've got entirely opposite points on it, I think. Agreed to disagree.
McLaren. McLaren's spectacular return to form continued in Japan with second and third in qualifying and second and third in the race. Great from Lando and outstanding from Piastri, who had never even been to Suzuka before. Just as well, he has extended his contract to stay at Woking then. A good move by McLaren?
Very good. Yeah. Apparently he was supposed to extend it to go to Alpine, but that's an old joke. Yeah. Piastri is really, really impressing me, to be honest, at the moment. Anyone disagree?
That don't impress me much.
Okay. Thank you, whoever it was but that sang that.
Impressing. Shania Twain.
Shania Twain is not impressed by Oscar Piastri.
Okay, so you got third place at Suzuka.
That don't impress me. That's a team song for you.
That's good, I like that.
Look, Piastri is impressing me too, but also so is Norris, and also just so is McLaren in general. Like, what the fuck up? What
the comeback of the fucking decade?
If there was one thing that was sure about the start of this year, it was that McLaren were going to be shit, and they're not shit. And I feel like I've missed what happened.
I mean, they might be the second best team.
Every team brings upgrades. Yeah, every team brings upgrades, and you just kind of go, yeah, whatever, bullshit. But there's, they were good. That wasn't a fluke. They
were smashing it all weekend. And not for the first time.
Good. They got a podium.
Well, yes, Lando got second last week as well, didn't he?
Lando got well Norris.
It's like baby got back.
What other drivers has that worked for? Max got Verstappen? No. Sergio got Perez? Not really.
George got rustled.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. somebody
good kidnapped one. Him.
Nico got Hulkenberged.
Kevin got Magnussen.
No.
Pierre got Gasly. No. Esteban got Ocon.
Just George Russell, I think.
Logan got Sargent. No. Ooh,
it feels like it should, but it doesn't. Anyway, yes, good move by McLaren. But Piastri is really going to have to hope that their return to form sticks. Because I can't remember how long his contract was, but I think it was quite a long one. And if they turn absolutely terrible again next year, he's going to be very annoyed.
I mean, if there's one thing we can say about McLaren in the last, let's be generous and say 20 years, they are erratic at best.
They had their moments in the noughties, but yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'm impressed. And they've gone back to sensible colours.
Yeah.
I like them. I've always liked McLaren. Like, McLaren are my favourite team. If I support a team, it's McLaren. But it's been hard to support McLaren lately because they're shit.
Because
that's exactly
you
how
only support
works.
Good teams.
No, I don't support a team unless they're good.
Okay.
So I don't glory hunt. I don't chase the good teams. I like go dormant on my support.
Dormant.
Oh, so it's always the same team, but you will only support them
McLaren.
When they're good.
Yes.
So they have to win your praise and affection.
Yes. Surely that's not the true definition of being a supporter.
There's a logic to that, I
think. Support them throughout.
No, I only love my daughter when she's good.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
She starts playing up. She's straight out the will.
You're like, oh, it's all gone hikey cover lining.
I also love the idea that you've just got your will on hand just to strike her off just at any given moment where she's misbehaving. Right, you're gone.
Yeah, it's a Google document. I can edit it on my phone.
Right, just change it.
Oh, does that mean I've got access?
Probably, inadvertently, yeah.
Oh, I've got a BMW.
You've inherited the debt of a BMW.
Ferrari!
I'm going to kill you for that.
Ferrari! You're welcome, Charles. Last week we asked if Carlos Sainz was now Ferrari's number one after winning in Singapore. And sure enough, that fired up Leclerc to come back and look much better all weekend. Fourth on the grid, finished fourth, job done. Sainz, meanwhile, went out in Q2, although he did at least carve back through to sixth and nearly nailed Hamilton for fifth. Is this about where Ferrari are at now?
Something strange is happening in that Ferrari seem to have come out in the last couple of weeks and said, oh, we fixed the problems with our car and now we know what we're doing. And then they go and win a race and then they do kind of okay-ish at this one. And if you think that McLaren are doing well, it does kind of feel like next year maybe a bit closer, except for Mercedes don't seem to be.
They seem to have dropped off a bit. Yeah, we'll get to them in a minute. But
yeah,
I mean, Ferrari doing all right.
But I do think that... I do think that Ferrari, they've definitely gone up a notch in the last
the
few races.
The Vasseur effect.
Whatever their last... Yeah. Yes, finally the Freddy Vaseline is working its way through
he's
the system.
He's looped them up nicely. Greasing the wheels.
Prance that horse right into it.
Cavallino Rampant.
Good Italian, I imagine.
Grazie, grazie.
Diablo
Cody.
Pizza.
Oh, sure.
I went for a meal the other day that was German tapas.
Wow.
Oh, dear. You're right. Yeah,
just bits of gatto and sausage.
It was very heavy.
Was it just each tapas was just a full meal? You ordered just multiple meals of sausage and potatoes.
Well, the best thing was... A bit about tapas.
No, it's fine.
But the waiter was just like explaining tapas. He's like, this is German tapas, so we should explain. You should try three or four plates. And I was just going, yeah, we've had fucking tapas before. The tapas isn't the fucking part of this sentence that's confusing. It's the fucking... I don't want fucking curryverst on a small plate.
I like curryverst.
Oh, fucking hell, Phil. Curryverst is the most disgusting thing that I've ever eaten.
I'm plucking a fact out of my ass that I'm 90% sure is true, 70% sure, 40% sure is true. Do you know the biggest producer of curryverst in the world?
Is it Lego?
No, but I like where you're going. No, it's Volkswagen, I believe. They have their own type of curryverst, and they make...
People's car.
Mm, made of people. And it's delicious. I might have made that up, but they do a nice curryverst. So.
It sounds made up. Yeah, I'm going to check it.
Do you know what curryverst is?
It's
Do you
sausage.
Know what the sauce is?
It's curry powder. Sauce.
It's cheap. No, it's cheap tomato sauce with curry powder.
It's pretty good.
It's the most disgusting thing I've ever fucking
It's lovely.
Eaten. Oh, for fuck's sake. You don't have a palate, Phil. We've discussed this in the past. You don't know what food is.
I do.
You'd it's be food. Happy having steak on a drip. That would be your
as
ideal
long as
meal.
It was cooked nicely. And I could eat the drip.
Mercedes. Are things a bit touchy at Mercedes? Hamilton and Russell could only qualify 7th and 8th and in the race started battling themselves. At one point, both going off at spoon as George tried to get past Lewis. The team probably wisely split them up by putting them on different strategies, although Russell's attempt to do one stop turned out to be rather optimistic. After a week where Toto Wolff said that they would have no qualms with throwing out the W14 in the bin at the end of the year, what do we think the mood is like at Brackley?
That's an instruction, George. Oh, that was the best bit of the fucking race. Oh, that was the best bit of the year. That little shit getting his fucking comeuppance. I think, are we going to do it now? Or are we going to do it at the end of the race? Because I think I can still win this race. George, let him past you, little fucking wannabe dickwad fucking posh boy. Newton, what's it called? Where's he from? Norfolk fucking Broads, like you're fucking Ziggy Stardust, but you're not Ziggy Stardust. If anything, you're a David Bowie tribute act, and I hate you.
Well, I didn't know we had the rights to the actual recording from the team radio. That's amazing.
I know.
It is getting a little bit kind of like, ooh, there's a little... It's entertaining. I mean, the car's not really doing... not really going where it needs to be going, is it? I mean, 7th and 8th, 5th and 7th in the race.
And I read a quote from Lewis Hamilton about next year's car, and they're not... He doesn't seem very sure that they know what
he
they're
basically
doing.
Said, I might have to go down there and check they're doing what I'm telling them to do. Or sort of worse to that effect. So, yeah.
So that's going well.
Yeah. That must do wonders for morale. I wonder if he's feeding back ideas, and they're just going, okay, well, that's an idea, Lewis, thanks. But what if we do this? What if we take away the side pods again?
But then you think, because you think how Lewis is whenever, even when they're winning races, if you remember those heady days, and they put him on a tyre that he wasn't happy with, and he would moan about it for fucking hours, and then win the race by 20 seconds.
Go, oh, my God. My tyre's Bono.
Everything's so shit. You think, now the team's doing badly, do you reckon he is like that? Do you reckon he goes to the mechanics and just kind of goes, yeah, have you thought about square wheels?
What we need to do is upgrade the slippery by a factor of at least 3.
Yeah, when I'm driving, it's just not fast enough. Can you make it faster?
Have you got, like, another gear? Or could you make the accelerator go a bit lower so I can go faster?
What if we put all the rev counters up to 11?
Well, that won't make any difference, Lewis. I mean, you know, they rev as high as they rev.
But it would go one more.
I'm prepared to do the whole of that film. Yeah, it does seem like all is not golden in the house of Mercedes. And I, for one, am very entertained by it, and I hope it continues.
Oh, I love it.
I'll just live for the drama.
I hate George Russell. I hate George Russell with a passion. To the point that I'm starting to like Max Verstappen. I can only hate one driver at a time.
God, yeah, and that
I'm
really is hate.
Starting to not hate.
Oh, talk me through this. Yeah. This is somewhere I want to explore. What's making you not? Because let's go back a year. You really did not like Max Verstappen.
Well, the thing is, I don't.
He's not as angry and dickish as he used to be because he wins at a cruise now.
That's exactly that. Like, he was a total dick when he was racing against Lewis, and now he doesn't really race against anybody because he's half a minute ahead. But when he is racing someone, he seems to be much more respectful, which maybe makes me think he's actually just racist, and probably him and his dad are just fucking evil racists that have a go at Lewis Hamilton because he's of a different colour.
For legal reasons, we do not
beep,
think that.
Sorry. I'll do my own beeps. Beep, he's beep. But since he's not been that much of a dick, and he's been genuinely, like we said earlier on, he's genuinely very impressive. And even the Dutch fans have calmed down a bit. There's not all the fucking orange flares at every race and all the rest of it. So just like, it's starting to feel now more like an era where there's one driver dominating. Whereas a couple of years ago, it was a bit too cartoonish for my liking.
Hmm. Do you think?
Whereas George Russell is clearly a better.
Do you think Max Verstappen having this success and becoming a more tranquil individual is having a calming effect on the Dutch nation as a whole, on the world stage, and that they're just a lot more chilled out like they used to be?
Do you think it's actually more to do with his dad? That his dad is just like...
getting older, having less influence.
No, his dad's like had a boner for him winning the championship forever, and now he's done it, he's leaving him alone, and now Max Verstappen's just relaxing.
And he wept for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Leviticus.
Aston Martin. Lance Stroll returned to action after missing Singapore and promptly went out in Q1. Then his wing failed in the race. Welcome back, Lance. Fernando Alonso just about scraped his Aston Martin into Q3 and then managed to stay in the points. But the car isn't that fast anymore. What has gone wrong?
It's fucking starting. Alonso's losing his temper. We knew it would happen. It's subtle, but it's there. He's getting
it. He had a bit of an outburst in that race, isn't he? He did. You're feeding me to the lions, he said.
It's like Christmas come early.
That was his thing this week that I remember. It's like, you've pitted me too early. You've fed me to the lions or something along those lines.
Oh.
What's going to happen? Predict it for us.
It's like falling in love again, isn't it? Like, you think you can't do it, and then you meet someone, and you're just like, wow, this is how I remember feeling when I was young.
How is it going to play out, though? Give us some Nostradamus-style predictions. Where do we go from here? At the moment, it's just little needling messages. Are we going to get a full fist fight with Lawrence Stroll?
No, I think he'll do it. I think he'll use Lance as a human sacrifice. So I think what will happen... You know the way that at the start of the year he was like really building up Lance and being like, oh yeah, Lance should do this, and oh actually I'll help him.
Future world champion.
Really good. I think what's going to happen is the exact opposite of that. It's going to be like a perfect kind of mountain diagram, a graph going up, peak and come back down. And I'd imagine that by the last race of the season, he will do a press conference and he will lay in and say that Lance Stroll is the worst teammate he's ever had. And the whole team, he's carrying the whole team on his shoulders just because the dad's got the money. He'll just do everything and then he'll get fired. And
then the following year, Aston Martin will win the championship.
Yeah. Aston Martin will win the championship and then he'll be back at fucking Alpine going again for like the eighth time, being like, hello, me again. She kicked me out again.
Sorry about all those things I said.
God, I say that as a joke, but it's also incredibly believable, isn't it?
Alpine! We've been saying all season that things will surely kick off between Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon, but they haven't really. Still, things were not rosy between the two of them at the end of the race in Suzuka. After Gasly was told to give up his ninth place for Ocon following a tactical switch earlier in the race as they tried to chase down Alonso, Gasly came on the radio to say that the call was a complete joke. So it sounds like things are going well at Enstone then.
It must be weird being in Formula One, because I was thinking this the other day. You ever do those things where you're walking down the street, right, and you're happy? I don't know why, you're in love, or you've just got some money, or you've just had a big fart, you know, whatever really makes you happy. And you're walking down the street going, everything's amazing, you're looking at all the birds and the flowers going, God, life is great. And then you walk past someone who's like on the phone and they're having a really bad day and they're crying or something. And you have this weird like juxtaposition of like, oh my God, they're having a really bad day, but I'm in a good mood. Fuck them. And I guess that's what it's like when you're the when you're like Max Verstappen. He must walk into the paddock just being like, what a lovely day. Oh, the sun is shining. I might win a race again today. Yeah, why not? Oh, God. Yeah, I think I'll ask her to marry me. Do you know, I might buy a new car. And then there's like Gasly and Ocon and Alonso going, fuck you. Fuck you. Fucking hate this fucking car, you fucking shit. And Max just walks by going, oh, I hope they're all right. Do you want a fiver?
Whistling a jaunty tune.
I'm actually surprised that things haven't gone to shit at Alpine earlier. And in fact, Gasly was pissed off. Ocon was just like, eh, it's all right. But it's such a clusterfuck there. Like, of all the teams, I mean, Ferrari's been a clusterfuck for years, but Alpine at the moment seems to be the clusterfuckiest.
I feel like Alpine are just kind of like... they're held up with the, you know, if something kind of gets set on fire and it's and the skeleton is just kind of there, it would just take a
like Brighton Pier.
Like Brighton Pier. If you just ran at Brighton Pier, it would fall over, but no one runs at it. And I feel that Alpine is like that. It's just that as soon as the first proper shitty thing happens, the whole thing's going to fall apart. But right now, wow, it's just being held up with bits of burnt wheel tether.
I thought you were going to say Mylander, but sure. which bits of Mylander are holding Alpine together? Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, right. If you smell burnt Mylander, you might be having a stroke.
That's why he never gets out the safety car. He can't stand up.
He makes toast on the passenger seat just to piss people off.
Yeah, I mean, how Alpine are not last by a country mile because of all the dysfunction, I really don't know, but maybe it's still time. Six races to go. It could still all go horribly wrong.
Do you know what? We've still got nearly half of an old season to go.
It's true.
Jesus Christ.
this has just added to our argument that the season's too long, because like we've had the season. The season is over. Red Bull have won in how many races? This was race 16. It's the perfect number. This is what we've been saying for years.
That was the old perfect number. Yeah, yeah.
16 is the best number of races. That's what they should have done. And this could have been a glorious thing.
How many more have we got?
Championship. Verstappen wins the championship.
Six more.
Another six.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a chore now, doesn't it?
Look, I love doing this podcast, but sometimes it feels like we do it too fucking often. And we're not even missed Apex. They do it like every fucking week.
Yeah, and they do it straight after the race as well. It's like, oh, I haven't even watched the race yet.
Yeah. We got mentioned on their podcast the other day again.
Did we?
Relevant again. Yeah.
I mean, yes, cool. I've listened every week, of course, I knew. But just in case anyone didn't listen, what did they say about us?
One of the tweets we did was really good, and they talked about it. And it just made me think, they don't talk about us anymore. We've slid into obscurity. Which is good, because they're all a bunch of...
AlphaTauri! AlphaTauri. Liam Lawson's stock continues to go up, although he was the top-placed AlphaTauri in the last two races, and indeed the top-placed Red Bull in Singapore. That had been because misfortune had befallen Yuki Tsunoda. But this time, Lawson beat Tsunoda in a straight fight, although AlphaTauri this week did confirm Tsunoda and Ricciardo for 2024. So where does this leave Lawson?
He's gonna go to Williams. He's gonna go to Williams. He's gonna go to Williams. I'm saying it right
or
now.
Or Red Bull.
Or Red Bull. Probably not Red Bull. Or I don't Perez think he should go to Red Bull.
Perez will do the... Perez. Well, he shouldn't go to Red Bull, but Perez will do like three races for Red Bull and then they'll get Liam Lawson in.
The obvious thing to do here, which won't happen, but the obvious thing to do here is to put Ricciardo back in the Red Bull again. Which would be silly, but it's the best option. Because Lawson's not ready.
The obvious thing to do is for Red Bull to buy a third team.
Sure.
And have
Beta,
Liam Lawson,
Labour,
and Jaime Alguersuari.
No, like a classic team.
Yeah.
Classic Retro. Team Toro. Just bring back Toro Rosso.
Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber.
Just have a I like your idea of having a rotating cast of entirely average Toro Rosso drivers come back and just brilliant. Change them out every... Because it's been much more interesting at AlphaTauri now they've had four drivers this season.
Yeah, like the old days. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The team's so they should, a little bit wacky.
Previously, they'd just get fired every three races, but now it's for legitimate reasons. Now I love this idea. Bring back old Toro Rosso. We can have Christian Klien, Scott Speed, Sebastian Bourdais... Sebastian Vettel, Sebastian Buemi, or just have a load. Just have a team called Sebastian with a load of people called Sebastian driving for them.
Belen Sebastian, Sebastian Vettel,
Sebastian the Crab from The Little Mermaid,
Sebastian. San Sebastian.
The town, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great idea. I don't know why they haven't done it. But no, I think Logan Sargeant, we'll get to shortly, I think Logan Sargeant is going to get the hoof, and I would be quite surprised, he says, thinking it through as he says it, if Liam Lawson isn't offered the place, because I know that there are various sort of slightly Williams-affiliated drivers that might get offered the seat, but Lawson now has 4 Grand Prix under his belt, and he's done really well in all of them. And if fucking Nick DeVries can get a whole season, well, some of a season, based on one race, then surely Lawson, with 4 really good races, should get a seat.
But don't Red Bull have, like, yes, you know... I mean, haven't they just ploughed a whole load of money into him and feel like they've sort of nurtured him for a bit and they wouldn't let,
well,
let
I'd
him
imagine,
go? Or do you think they just want him to have a seat?
No, I'd imagine they'd probably put him there because they haven't got anywhere else to put him. Now they've put their eggs in the AlphaTauri basket with Tsunoda and Ricciardo. That's kind of nailed in. I don't think he's ready for a full Red Bull seat because that would be a step too far. So they've kind of backed themselves into a corner. But as long as he can still wear his Red Bull helmet, they'll probably give Williams some money.
Right.
Oh, they'll give him on a loan. Racing. It'll be a loan.
Yeah,
thing.
It'll be like being out on loan for the season in football. They'll give Red Bull. They'll give Williams a load of money. Mm-hmm. He'll drive
Williams
along.
Like
probably.
Money.
Yeah, they love money. the only thing, and it would give him another good workout along outside Albon, which at a top team would be a bit of a problem because if they're both really good, we know what happens in that kind of situation. But at Williams, I don't think it'll matter. They can push each other. They'll hopefully develop the team. Everybody wins. And then maybe in 2 seasons, a la George Russell, Lawson gets promoted, presumably to Red Bull or to AlphaTauri when Ricciardo turns out to be rubbish still. That's my prediction.
Alfa Romeo.
Control P.
Last week we mentioned, mainly in passing, that we'd hardly seen any Alfa Romeos at Singapore. This week we did see Valtteri Bottas, but only when he was having crashes with Williams drivers and then retiring. It's something, I suppose. Zhou Guanyu was 13th, and that's all we have to say about that.
I feel a little bit sorry for Bottas because he crashed into both the Williams drivers and then had to retire.
And he used to drive for Williams. That was awkward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he didn't he?
I know, you forget, didn't he? He was a big hotshot that went from Williams to Mercedes. Talking about these drivers go to Williams, he was one of those, as was Rosberg, went from Williams to Mercedes.
Yeah, it's true. Suddenly, and, you know, while they weren't the Alpha and the Omega at their respective teams, they both did all right.
They
for all us mocking
all right.
Bottas now, I think in time he will look back at his stint at Mercedes and say, I wasn't as good as Hamilton, but who the fuck is? I did all right. I won some races. I was a good number 2. I did well.
Whereas George Russell is saying, I'm better than Hamilton.
You love Russell.
I hate Russell.
Give it a year. You'll love him again.
Look, we all know I'm fickle. I'm not going to pretend that I will never love Russell. But right now, I hate Russell.
I think my judgment on drivers is based on the intro on the Sky Sports F1 thing when they start the race. You know, like when they're posing for the...
Oh, what poses they do.
Yeah, because I... And George
is it
Russell...
Is Norris who
one,
puts his hand on the side of the thing and...
No, that's George Russell. George Russell's one is the is most sickening of all of them.
Exactly.
It's horrible. And... You know he's just like, yeah, I'm going with this. I'm going to just milk.
Yeah, and his people would be like, George, we think maybe... Could you just do another take like everyone else so you don't like a total... No? Okay, fine. Although, have you seen the Daniel Ricciardo AI version of that where all of the faces are Daniel Ricciardo?
No, I haven't. That sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing.
Hang on, let's do a live react. Hang on, I found it. Let's see if this works.
This is what the kids are doing.
Here we go.
Oh,
see
okay.
If this works.
All right. Riverside.
Let's see if we can all press play at the same
time. I'm watching it now.
No, hang on. Let's all press play at the same time.
I've clicked it.
Auto plays.
Go.
Hang on. No, it's making me
it's
silent.
Loads of pop ups.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh.
It's playing through the wrong speaker as well.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It's like a family of Danny Ricciardo's.
It's
oh,
so
God,
creepy.
That's really creepy, yeah. The Alonso one. Oh, my God.
I want to see if the George Russell, whether they got him doing the bad pose.
Oh, Norris!
Oh, the Hamilton one's scary.
Oh, the Hamilton one is problematic.
The signs look like signs.
Wow.
Oh, this is so weird. Oh, no, I don't like that.
That's tremendous. Love it. If you haven't seen that, everyone, we'll put it in the show notes.
That's what people say, don't they?
Will we?
I don't know what show notes are, but...
Put it in the newsletter.
You can work that, can't you?
Whack it in there.
We do have a newsletter. If you want to join our newsletter, go to ff1s.com/whatever the URL is.
Yeah. Generally, I'd say several times this year, we've put out a newsletter straight after the race. I mean, the day after the race.
You have.
Which for us is pretty quick.
Yeah. ff1s.com/news is the news.
Oh, gave me a boner. They were good this week, but not...
Me too.
But not... They were good last week, but not this week. Last of the finishers, although Magnussen can be forgiven after he was torpedoed by Paris. Generally hopeless.
Yep.
Hopeless.
They're only good at Singapore. That would appear to be their thing at the moment. Everywhere else,
it's no more good. Of a kind of fetish, isn't it?
What?
They get really turned on in Singapore. They just got it. They got a thing for like bright lights. Imagine if the car is only fast when there's bright lights.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
It's not a fetish. I've moved on to a different subject. Maybe the Haas is powered by photosynthesis. Then it would be worse at Singapore because there's no sunlight, because bright lights aren't the same.
Unless they're using like hydroponic lights.
Mike, Phil.
Isn't that a Rick Wakeman album?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Williams! Alex Albon was unlucky to get twatted at the start, which broke his car, while Logan Sargeant was unlucky to be Logan Sargeant and just kept twatting things, which broke his car again.
He's gone. That was his last chance, I think. Sargeant.
Yeah.
Demotion.
Court martial, dishonourable discharge.
He can't help himself. He can't. He's thinking, maybe I'll try and drive this lap quite carefully. And he gets to the last corner on his opening qualifying lap and thinks, what if I were to smack it into the wall? And he's like, can't stay away from the light.
I do think that they're going to blame.
The last we see of him. So the search for a decent American driver continues.
I do think they're going to blame this weekend on the colours, though. You know, like it's like the Euro 96 kit, the grey kit. It's like that. I think that's what they're going to do.
You reckon?
Yeah, the minute you change colours, it's a disaster.
You mean the livery, or?
Yeah, the livery, yeah. It's completely different.
But it looks good. The golf livery looks really good. There should be a law within F1 that one team has to have the golf livery all the time. Because it always looks
Why
good.
Why does the AlphaTauri new livery make it look like the Haas? Really,
I didn't even notice they had a new livery.
A few races ago, I don't know.
Did they?
I don't care.
I forgot what the Haas looks like. Doesn't the Haas look like the Alfa Romeo?
I know what you're talking about. Oh, I know what you mean. I get them confused on the track, but I didn't realise that they'd changed. When did they change?
Yeah, they changed it a few races ago, and they've basically changed it into the Haas livery. Yes, I don't fucking understand.
They do look really similar, don't they?
I feel like I used to be more clued in to things like this, and now I'm just like an old man going, what? Why are there four Haases?
What happened to the Honda Earth car?
Where are the sugar babes?
All of which takes us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
Oh, shit, that's me. Okay, so the driver's standings this week are as follows. In first place, still got it, it's Max Verstappen. In second place, sent back out to go look for it, it's Sergio Perez. In third place, got cheated out of having it, it's Lewis Hamilton. In fourth place, pretend he doesn't want it, it's Fernando Alonso. In fifth place, it's Carlos Sainz, held it for a moment. In sixth place, forgot what it is, it's Charles Leclerc. In seventh place, he's not old enough for it, it's Lando Norris. In eighth place, he missed it, he's crying, it's George Russell. In ninth place, he shot it, it's Oscar Piastri. In tenth place, it's less important than money, it's Lance Stroll. In 11th place, he lost it to Ocon, it's Gasly. In 12th place, he lost it to Gasly, it's Ocon. In 13th place, his mother took it, it's Albon. In 14th, Magnussen sucked it, it's Hulkenberg. In 15th, didn't realise who he had it, it's Bottas. In 16th, Zhou Guanyu didn't want it. In 17th, it's Yuki Tsunoda, doesn't understand it. In 18th place, Kevin Magnussen sucks it. And Liam Lawson in 19th won't get it. And the constructors, because we're in Japan, I thought I'd do some Japanese constructors. But I now realise that I've pasted the Japanese characters.
Can't wait for this.
I saw this that. This is going to be great. I was so impressed.
Go on then.
Yeah, do it.
You're going to wow us here with your incredible Japanese kanji skills.
Okay, wait.
Let me take a screenshot of this.
That's amazing.
Okay, I'm going to play it in my ear, and then I'm going to say it. So, in first place, Sosha.
What?
I have no idea.
I can't remember what they are.
No idea. It's like a terrible language learning tape.
No, here we go. Here we go. No, I've got it. I've got it. Right. Okay. So, in first place, it's Red Bull, which is Sosha, which means winner. In second place, it's Mercedes with Kino, which is yesterday, because they're yesterday's team. In third place, it's Ferrari with...
This is going to take some editing.
Keste, which is never. Anyway, just put it on the Instagram and Japanese people can read it. And
no, do it. Keep going. You've committed.
I'll tell you what, I'll paste them all up. I'll just paste them all at once. Right, give me a second.
No, it's all right. Take your time.
It's all right. Don't edit any of this out.
No, I'm keeping it in. I hope you're feeling our pain. We all feel very uncomfortable.
Look, can't see the live editing of the Google Doc as this is all going on.
Yeah.
Listen, when I did this and I thought, I'll tell you it'll be a funny idea for the podcast, I'll paste in the Japanese characters. I didn't think this through, no. Okay?
No.
I didn't think what would come next. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm just going to put the headphone. Look, does this work? Ready? Go. Which was Money Set a Mountain Loser, Karaoke Boring Who.
God, we're only on number four.
All right. No, that's it. That was all of them. That was four to ten.
Brilliant. All right.
Brilliant. So just in case you didn't hear it.
Oh, dear God, that was painful.
And here's the translation. And we're done.
In so many ways, yep.
And now the man of the match of driving.
Sergio Liam Lawson.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Perez showed this week that if Verstappen was as shit as him, we'd have had a really close championship. And I think the day after Red Bull won their sixth Constructors' Championship, it's time we stopped having a go at the other teams not being good enough, but instead focus our gaze on Red Bull being just too good. It was easy to hope that last week's rare failure to win in Singapore was to do with Red Bull being big dirty cheats, but it seems that no. The only thing holding Red Bull back is their number two driver. And for the good of the sport, we need more things dragging them down. But don't worry, I have a solution. There's a lot of talk in F1 circles about whether teams have a number one and a number two driver. Is one contractually given all the fancy new parts and a favourable strategy, and the other just has to make the tee? Or does a team scrupulously treat both drivers fairly? Yeah, right. So I say what we should do is two number two drivers. The year after winning anything, a team has to agree to have two number two drivers. And I mean that of only having two drivers in total, which means they'll have to both receive poor strategy calls, neither will get access to the new parts until the race after they're ready, and they'll both have to move over for each other constantly. In short, exactly what Ferrari do at nearly every race.
Love it.
Yeah. That's it from us. It's goodbye to Phil Tremans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about the ongoing, every week, Alex Palou and McLaren debacle, which now has a new character because they've signed somebody called Ryo Kirakawa as the F1 reserve driver, because even though Palou is still the reserve driver, he's not coming to any of the races because he doesn't like them. It's great.
Beautiful.
And to Terry Saunders.
And we haven't had time to talk about Andretti, Betty. Andretti is the only team left in the running for the new team slot because the other teams have been rejected. So now it's only Andretti that could be the 11th team, if that will happen. Would it happen? I don't
know. Only Andretti that can get rejected again.
We'll be back in just a minute to discuss the Qatar Grand Prix in Qatar. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1sake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1sake. Terry, where can people buy merchandise?
You can buy merchandise by coming to my house. And then I will direct you to ff1s.com. Shop, shop, shop. Because I don't keep stock in the house. It's all done via website. Don't come here.
Thanks for listening. I've been Ollie Peart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Social Podcast Network.